I've written on the board, it is the Lord that gives the increase. I'm thankful for everyone who's here this morning. And I'm desperate that the Spirit will be willing to meet with us and come here too. You know, I was thinking before this message, a lot of times ministers get up and they say they desire an interest in your prayers. Sometimes you might think that's just a good opening line, you know, to get started. But if you'd come up here and preach a couple times, you'd realize that maybe that was from the heart. That you desire the Lord to be here, because this is serious. It's the Lord's work. And you want the Spirit of the Lord to be here and to move and to give what's needed at the right time. Most of the time, ministers have a message, but you want it to be the message of the hour. And so we're dependent on the Lord to bless this morning. I'd like to read four verses in the 21st chapter of Luke. Luke 21 and 1 says, "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." Well, I'd like to consider this scene for a couple of moments. This was a place where the temple was. This was a place where people came to serve the Lord. And the temple was dedicated to the Lord. That was the intent of it. It wasn't for other people. The temple was dedicated really for the glory of the Lord, that He would be glorified. And people could come to the temple and be part of that. A wonderful privilege to be able to go to the temple of the Lord and to worship the Lord. And that's why the temple was there. And in this place, the temple was also a location where you could go and make an offering to the Lord. And people did that. They made offerings. In this case, this was the treasury. And people could come and give. They weren't forced. No one came to the door and said, "You're going to give this morning." But people could come to the treasury and put in something of their own volition. And there were men that were putting in things into the treasury at this time. And it sounds like this was also a place where you could watch, if you so chose, you could watch what other people were putting in the treasury, in the offering box. And Jesus, as He often does, was observing what was going on. He does that today. He knows what you're doing. He knows what's going on. And He was watching, and there were people going along and looked like they were really putting in quite a contribution. But suddenly, the attention of the Lord was captured. The attention of the Lord was captured when a widow woman offered to the Lord, the God of all creation, the great I Am, the one that could create anything that He wanted to create without your contribution. A woman gave to Him two mites. In the midst of all of the seemingly grand giving, this lady walked in the midst of it all, when it was all going around and people, yes, are watching. And she was willing to come and put in her two mites. Did the Lord chuckle a little bit and look at His disciples out of the side, you know, give them a little side glance and give them about a one-word exclamation of, "Really? She thinks this is going to forward my work? Is that what happened? No. The Lord was moved. The Lord was moved with the contribution that this woman gave. He received that offering with great appreciation. And on this day, He sent a strong declaration of reaffirmation of the words that He spoke to Samuel hundreds of years before when He said that the man or the Lord doesn't look at things like man does. Because man looks on the outward appearance, but He said the Lord looks on the heart. This morning, the Lord knows your heart. He knows why we give what we do. He knows when we give when it hurts and no one else knows. He knows when we give and no one else knows we give. He also knows when we give out of our abundance and it really isn't a sacrifice, but it looks like a grand thing. He knows that too. This is the Lord that sees all and knows all. Well, there's a reason why in 2 Corinthians 10 and 12, Paul said not to measure ourselves by ourselves. Remember? And he says, don't compare yourselves among yourselves. And then what did he say? It's not wise. He says, it's just not wise to do something like that. Now, I want to say this at the outset. I am not of the mind, and I'm not of the persuasion that believes, well, let's nobody judge anybody. Whatever you think is okay. Everybody can live however they want to live. We heard about that last night. That is not my message this morning. That's a different message, and it was preached last night. God has a way of life that He wants us to live. He has a set of expectations that He gives His people that He expects. He expects us to live above sin. He doesn't want sin to reign in our lives. He expects us to live and walk like Christians. So I want to say that right off the bat, and I don't want the enemy to use that and say, well, you know, Rod's preaching something. No. The Scripture said it's not wise to compare yourselves among yourselves and measure yourselves for a reason, not that it's okay to live however you want. One of the reasons that that's written in here is that the enemy would love for you to decide that you're going to compare yourselves and measure yourselves by yourselves. Don't use the Lord as a standard. Let's just measure ourselves by everybody else around us. Because if we do that, this is what's going to happen. A lot of times what's going to happen is it causes people to be paralyzed in their action. If you aren't strong in a particular area and the need that is in front of you needs this particular strength that you don't feel like you have, what happens is you look around and there are other people that are stronger than you, so you're ready to step back and not do anything. On the flip side of it, if you think you're really capable, and you think you really have a talent, and you're really needed, and I'm just the guy for the hour, because this is what everybody needs, and I've got what it takes, well, you're off base there too. It's not wise to look at everybody else and then think that you really have something. And so the Scripture says it's not wise to do that. Don't measure yourselves among yourselves. Don't compare yourselves like that. It's just not a wise thing to do. Now look, in almost every situation, there is somebody that has a greater talent than what you have in a particular area. That's just the way that it is. And because of that, we are apt, when that happens, we're apt to draw back. When that area floats to the surface, we are apt to draw back because we look around and we go, oh, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, that's their strength. They're really good at that. I'm not needed here. You all just take it over. That's the reason so few people pray in church.
why is it that it's just two or three people that pray in, at service time? Why is it that not enough people are willing to verbally step forward sometimes and have a testimony when a testimony is needed? This list could go on and on. You know, why? This is the very reason why sometimes people don't give of their means when there's a need, because they look around and like, well, I don't have anything. I mean, I'm scraping the bottom as it is. I only have $5 to give. And so-and-so over there, they're probably giving lots of money. No reason for me to go up there and put my $5 bill in. It won't do any good. I want to tell you something. If more people that were sitting in their seats would be willing to pull the $5 bill out of their wallet and give it, the work of the Lord would be a lot further down the road. Don't take that wrong. The Lord's not limited by us, but He uses us. I remember quite a few years ago, I looked at the total offering that came in at Monarch, and I looked at all the people that were there, and it just didn't seem to quite tally out. So I got my calculator out. Well, there's about this many people. We had about this many services. Looks like about $1.50 a service. I'm not making that up. I ran the numbers. $1.50 a service. And we think nothing about dropping $5 or $10 at a drive-thru on a whim. But when it comes sometimes to standing up and it's time for the work of the Lord, it's like pulling teeth sometimes. Just give $5. You know that if everybody would just give $2 or $5 that weren't giving anything, it would turn into something more than what is being given. And so the Scripture says, don't look around and compare who you have and what, or who's around you and what you have and what they have, and then make decisions based off of that. Somebody might need your testimony. Your testimony. Not a testimony. The Lord may want somebody to hear your testimony. He may want you to give something to the Lord. Who are we living for today, anyway? Is it other people? Or is it God? Do we hold back sometimes in doing the work of the Lord because we're afraid what everybody else is going to think of us? And we totally lose sight of who it is that we're living for in the first place. We're not disciples of other people. We're disciples of the Lord. But the enemy would like us to think that somehow everything we do has to pass the bar of everybody around us. I don't find that in here. The Lord asks us to live for Him, but we live in a society where it's geared this way, where everything is compared. Well, how does your car compare to the next car on the road? How big is your house compared to everybody else's house? There's a pecking order. There's a totem pole. There's a hierarchy. Are you promoted, meaning you're above somebody else, you know, at work? How many people do you have working for you? The world spends billions of dollars on advertising trying to make you think that what they have to offer is better than the next one. And so we live in a time where we're always comparing. Well, if I get this, the opportunity cost of getting this is I don't get this over here. And we make decisions based off of all these things. And if we're not careful, we'll bring that right into our spiritual lives and start making decisions on what we're going to do for the Lord based on what everybody else thinks and what our contribution is based on the contribution that we think that others can contribute. Paul said, well, that's not wise. That's not a very wise thing to do. In 1 Corinthians 3, I'd like to turn there. 1 Corinthians 3 and 3. This scripture says,
And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Start at the third verse. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there are among you envies and strifes and divisions, ye are not carnal and walk as men. This isn't the verse I was looking for. Is it chapter 4? Where's the verse where he talked about it's the Lord that gives? It's right here. It's just down a little further. It said, who then is Paul? 1 Corinthians 3 and 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? It was God that ended up giving the increase. I don't want to be categorized as carnal for... Okay, listen to this. A lot of times we think, well, people that are carnal in this situation are those that really have something to offer because they can get themselves lifted up. Yeah, I can mean that. But I don't want the Lord categorizing me as carnal. Carnal means fleshly, not spiritual. There's a few other words that go with that. I don't want the Lord to view me as fleshly and not spiritual because I hold back and don't do things because I'm afraid what other people are going to think of me. That's carnal. I mean, it is. We often don't. Sometimes we can try to put it in terms of, well, I'm humble. I recognize my inadequacy. Sometimes the Lord would like to use your inadequacy. And He would like you to step forward and not worry so much about your flesh and be carnal and be maybe have a little pride sometimes. Because you're afraid, well, if I step forward, you know, so-and-so is not going to think very well of me. And it isn't going to go over as well as brother or sister or so-and-so could do this. And so sometimes we hold back. It can happen on the other side too. The Lord's the one that gives the increase. It doesn't matter how much you can give, it isn't enough. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. If you're one of the ones that has 5 talents as opposed to 1 or 2, it doesn't matter if you contribute the 5, it's still not enough. And so if you're building a house and you're one of the builders, the house builders, the 5 talent house builders, you are not going to have an effective house built unless the Lord builds the house with you. Because He's the one that gives the increase in the end. On the other side of it, if you have 1 talent and you contribute that talent and the Lord's right there helping you build the house, do you think you're going to have a good house when you get done? Yeah, you're going to have a good house. Because the Lord was there to build the house with you. Except the watchman waketh, the city's not going to be kept, even if he does wake up, if you have 5 talents, if the Lord's not there. But if the Lord's there with you, and you say, Lord, I want to do everything right. Lord, help me to watch like I should. Help me to take care of this like I should. I don't have much to offer, Lord, but I'm depending on you. And the Lord's right there by your side. The city is going to be kept. But you still have to be there. See? You still have to be there to do your part. And so in the end, it doesn't matter whether you can give a lot or whether you're just capable of giving a little bit. It's the Lord that gives the increase. And He wants us to always remember that. He wants us to always remember that. Don't compare yourselves. Don't measure yourselves. Don't live for other people. Don't draw back and be afraid to contribute because of what others think. We're serving the Lord this morning. He wants to give an increase. That's what He wants to do for us this morning. So I want to offer up a couple of challenges. You want to see the Lord work? Give the Lord something to work with. You say, well, the Lord doesn't need me to work. No, the Lord doesn't just... He's not desperate. He doesn't just have to have your specific talent, otherwise the world's going to crumble apart and His whole plan of salvation is no longer going to work if you yourself don't contribute. That's not it when I say give the Lord something to work with. The Lord wants to be glorified through you. The Lord wants to take what you have to offer. And He wants to multiply that to give you a blessing and to give those around you a blessing. And He wants to be glorified through you as well. That's why it is. The Lord doesn't come along and ask us to part the waters. But He does ask us to step in it. The Lord does ask you to step in the water. And sometimes we stand back and say, well, I can't part the waters. Well, I don't know anybody that can part the waters. I haven't met anybody yet that can part the waters. In fact, a lot of the needs that you see around us, look, most of the time, you are not going to be able to solve the problem on your own. And if this is an aside, just a note to young parent or parents with young children. You know, I finally got to the place where I realized I was not going to be able to be everything and all things for my children. I just wasn't going to be able to do it by myself. And I received great comfort when I finally realized the Lord's in this with me. And there's other people that can help my children too. And they can find encouragement and challenge from other people. And the Lord isn't just leaving me all by myself, because I can't do it all by myself. I have a place. I can't just stand back and say, well, Lord, You are a great God. Please make it happen with my children. No, He gave me a responsibility to contribute whatever it was I could contribute. I'm not able to part the waters. I'm not able to do it all so that everybody can just walk across on dry land and everything's good. I can't do that, but I can step into the water. And so can you. Regardless of the talent that you have, you can step into the water and then leave it to the Lord to part the waters when it's time. That's what the Lord wants us to be willing to do. How would the hungry multitude on the side of the hill fared if the boy with the loaves and the fishes would have said, this isn't going to do anybody any good. In fact, now listen to this. In fact, if I give my loaves and fishes, these people are not going to be full. It's going to mean nothing. And I'm going to be hungry. So, it would be better for me to keep my loaves and fishes so that at least I won't be hungry versus everybody, including myself, being hungry. So I'll just keep my loaves and fishes. How would that have worked out? Well, not very well. But He was willing to say, you need food? Lord, I don't have a lot, but I have this. And it's the Lord that gave the increase. The Lord was willing to take what He gave and then He increased it. Just like He can do with your loaves and fishes and my loaves and fishes. Sometimes we feel so inadequate. The Lord is the one that made you. He didn't make something that was inadequate to live for Him. He just wants us to be willing to give what He gave us back so He can bless it and multiply it. Where would the children of Israel have been if there were not some people that were willing to step into the water to go over to the Canaan land? Remember? They had the ark. What happened when they messed up with the ark? When that was a bad deal, when they start messing around with that and dump it over and everything falls out and it goes on the ground. This was serious business. They're trying to hold this and step into this water to go over into the promised land. You know, a human way of thinking was like, we're just going to have to trust the Lord and part the waters. And when He does, then we'll step through. They'd still be there. But they were willing to exercise faith and take a step because that's what they could do. They couldn't part the waters, but they could take a step.
And so they took a step and the waters parted. The Lord multiplied what they did so that they could go claim the Canaan land. God wants you and He wants me to be willing to give what we can give. And not let the enemy say, well, you don't have anything worthwhile giving. Might as well just keep it to yourself. So pretty soon you have the multitudes keeping everything to themselves. And the Lord's saying, wow, I could. And then we wonder why we're not blessed. Then we wonder why we have services that aren't as alive as they should be. Or why is there such a long... You know, if the Lord... Why aren't people inspired to pray? Well, look, I know not everybody's given the same calling. But the Lord wants us to exercise however little He gave us. You know the parable of the talents. Remember the parable of the talents? The Lord gave a person one talent. He gave another person two talents. And He gave another person five talents, right? And the person with five talents returned five talents. Returned 100%. In my way of doing math, that's 100% return. He gave another one two talents. And he gained back two more talents. 100%. Gave another one, and he buried the talent. Didn't get anything back. I want to ask you this. What do you think the Lord would have thought if the person with five talents would have looked over there at the person with two and said, oh, he's returning two talents. I got three talents. I'm returning. Three talents. I'll return. He just did two. Started to compare himself. Do you think the Lord would have been happy with three talents returned by the one that had five? Well, it doesn't address it specifically. But this is just my thinking. I'm thinking the Lord wouldn't be real pleased with the three talents. But if we're not careful, we look around and say, well, I'm doing better than they are. Or the one with two could have said, the guy up there, he's returning three talents. All I can do is two. I might as well not do anything. Not knowing that the Lord wasn't very happy with the three talents. And that the Lord wasn't expecting him to do more than two talents. The Lord just wanted a return on what He gave him. And it didn't turn out very well with the one with one talent. You know, I think a lot of times, in a lot of areas, we can feel like we just have one talent in a certain area. Different areas of our lives, I might feel like, yeah, the Lord blessed me with five talents in this area, two talents in this area, and this area over here, I only have one talent in. See, we have different varying levels of talents in different areas of our lives, different abilities. The Lord does not want us to take that area where He's just given us one talent and say, well, that isn't my talent. I'm going to focus on the area that I have five talents and two talents and get a return on that. But there are other people who have five talents in the area that I have one talent, so there's no reason for me to exercise it. I don't think that's what the Lord wants. Because the Lord wants to increase the one talent that He gave you. He wants us to be willing to step out like the widow with two mites in the midst of those that were giving out of their abundance and be willing to step forward and say, Lord, I don't have a lot, but Lord, I want to give You what I have. I want to contribute the best that I can here. If God's given you something, use it. Exercise it. Let Him multiply it. That's what He wants to do. Offer up a little prayer. It doesn't have to be a long, grand prayer. Amen. Step out of your box a little bit and offer up a little prayer. Eke out a little testimony. Be willing to say a little something to somebody when that window of opportunity passes you by at work or in the store or going by the cashier or wherever you are and there's something that rises up and you say, oh, I wish I could say just... But the devil says, well, it's not your talent. And you swallow it and you walk out and you kind of feel a little empty. God's not asking you to give them a long message right there in line. They probably don't want it anyway. But you say a little bit of something and then let the Lord increase it. That's what He wants us to be willing to do. If you have a little bit to give, maybe you're not rich. Maybe the Lord hasn't blessed you with a lot of material things. But when a need comes up, and you can give a dollar and you can give it in faith, give it. Let the Lord increase it. Maybe He takes your willingness to give that dollar and causes the person that you gave it to, their washing machine, not to fail next week and save them $300 to bless the gift that you gave. We don't know. The Lord said, I'll give the increase. You just worry about giving what you can give. And don't compare yourself to everybody else. And it's not just outward things. You know, sometimes we can think, I can't forgive them. I just can't forgive them. I don't have the level of forgiveness in me that I need. And then we get all discouraged because we know we're not doing right and we haven't forgiven. And it just seems like a mountain to us. And I think the Lord is saying, do what you can to forgive. Take whatever steps you know you can take. Apply whatever little talent you have to forgive and let me increase it. You may not be one with a lot of patience. And you think, I don't have patience for this. I don't have time for this. And you're ready to just walk out the door and let her go. But maybe you have a little bit of patience you could exercise. And you don't know how minute two is going to go, but you might be able to get through minute one. Well, go ahead and step into the water and try minute one out. And then trust the Lord to give the increase on that. He gives the increase. Do what you can do. Forgive. Have patience. Do for others. Our whole walk of life, it goes into every area. It's not just outward things that other people see. It's weaknesses that we have in ourselves. Maybe you're addicted to something. We have addictions to things. Maybe nobody knows about it. And to give it up, it just seems like a mountain. We could never do it. But maybe you could take a step into the water. Instead of letting the enemy say, you can't do that, you don't have any talent in that area, you can't do that, we say, yeah, you're right. And then we just bask in our failure and in our addiction. And the Lord's saying, hey, take a step into the water. Let me increase it. I'll increase it. You just have faith in me. That's what God wants us to do. So that's number one. Number two. Again, resist comparing yourselves to others regardless of how little you may have or not have. Consider this. You know, some people are born with a propensity or a natural ability to have the patience. Yes. Sure. Okay, well let's go to prayer for Brother Ed. Aren't you glad we serve a 24/7 God? Thankful that we have a Lord to turn to that knows all, sees all, has all power. He cares. You know, the Lord has a vested interest in all of our lives. Think about the price that the Lord paid on the cross, the stripes that He bore when He didn't have to, but He did it for you. He did it for me. And when we have needs, He's moved on His throne and He cares about us as individuals. And I am humbled by that, so thankful for it, glad that we are able to bow on our knees and ask the Lord to come to our rescue when we need help and have confidence to know that He has everything in control. Appreciate that this morning. I'd like to leave you and end with this last thought here. We're talking about resisting comparing ourselves to others and being willing to give what the Lord has us to give. You know, sometimes people are all of the time. People are born with natural abilities in different areas. And sometimes it's really easy to look at somebody that looks like is exercising great patience. Or, you know, sometimes in the world we have a difficult time being different than everyone else that's around us.
And we draw back from that. And then we look at other people and it seems like it doesn't even faze them. It's almost like they don't even recognize that they look different and act different. But they might be doing that out of the abundance of the talent that God's given them. And the enemy would like us to look at them and think that somehow what we have to offer is not worthy to be offered because of what they have. Not knowing at all or recognizing the fact that the Lord is looking down at the heart and He gives each one of us according to our several ability to do things and wants us to be willing to exercise it fully without consideration of other people. If you only have two mites to give, I want to encourage you this morning, give it. Be willing to give it. And thank the Lord that you had it to give. The Lord is the one that wants to give the increase to that. He takes note of when we look at those places in our lives and we only have one talent. It's so much easier to exercise the places where we have five. Because we feel better about those that are around us. We can deliver that talent and know that it stacks up pretty well compared to what other people can do. So we're a lot more ready to get out there in front and do it. But we're much less ready to get out and exercise in those places where we're weak. And yet I think those are some of the places that the Lord has some of the greatest blessings for you. You know, sometimes the greatest blessings we receive are those times when you look out and you see somebody take a step of faith into the water when maybe you know they just have one talent in that area, but they're willing to get out there and do what they can for it. And it might encourage them to do the same with the single talent that they have. Let's not be of the number that draws back. I don't want to draw back. I don't want the Lord to say of me, "What'd you do with this talent?" Well, Lord, I exercised the five that you gave me. I tried to do something with the two. And He says, "Yeah, I know, but what about the one? Where is it? You didn't do anything." Well, Lord, there are other people that could. Yeah, but I gave you a talent. He's not asking you to part the waters. He's not asking you to return five on one. He's just asking you not to do what you can't do, but do what you can do. And then trust Him for the increase. You remember the woman and the, was it a son and Elijah? And he said, "Well, make me some bread." I have a feeling the first thought that went through her mind, "Give you some bread? I can't. I'll die. We'll die. I don't have enough for that." But she was willing to give what she had. In fact, I think it said she went together, not three or four or five sticks to build a fire. She went together two sticks. That's all she had. She said, "Okay, I'll give it." And the result? The Lord gave the increase. And she had a perpetual supply of oil during that time of need. That's what God wants to do for you. And He wants to do that for me. He wants us to be willing to give the two mites if that's all we have. He wants us to be willing to exercise the one talent. And He wants us to then trust in Him with that. If this morning you have held back because of fear and uncertainty and maybe discouraged with yourself in a particular area, or you feel like you're nothing in a particular area, be encouraged this morning to draw nigh to God. He promised to draw nigh to you. He promised to give the increase if we would step in to the waters. This morning, I want to be a faithful servant of the Lord. I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord. I don't want to just look around and compare myself. Yes, maybe it's intimidating to step forth like the widow woman did when it looked like there were all this grand giving and contributions. She was willing to step out and say, "This is what I have." And the Lord took notice. And we're still reading about it today. Hundreds of years later, look at what kind of effect that had. I believe the Lord wants to do that with some things in your life and in my life that maybe we've been holding back on and relying on the few
in some particular area. Maybe they're getting tired. Maybe they need some help. I know God has set up members in His body. He didn't create us all to have all of the same place. We have eyes, we have ears, we have a nose, we have hands. We don't all have the same function in the body. But it never said that the hand couldn't help the foot get up the step if you needed to help push a little bit. It never said that the ear couldn't help the eyes understand a little bit better what's going on. It may not be your primary talent that God's given you, but He wants you to help the others that have it. And in those areas where you're strong, you probably like to have some help from those that have a little bit to offer. I want to do that. And I want to end with this thought. We started off with the story of the woman at the temple. Who's the temple today? Aren't we the temple of God? Know ye not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are? I don't want to be in the place where I'm the temple and God wants me to contribute to the temple because that's where He is. And then I hold back and not give of the talent that He Himself gave me. I don't want to bury it. I want to say, here it is, Lord, and I want to trust You for the increase. Let's be encouraged this morning in the Lord that He'll give the increase. He is a faithful God who will not let us down. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.